Well, this morning I'm going to speak to you, and I believe the message could change somebody's life here today. I want to talk to you about the blind side. The blind side. Because there's going to be moments in your life that what hits you, you did not see coming. But what you didn't see coming, God said, I knew it all along. There's going to be moments when you go through things that you weren't prepared for. But look up, because God says, I got your back and I got a plan to bring you through it. You may be experiencing something in your life that it's beyond your even, it wasn't even on your radar, but now you're having to deal with it. Can I tell you that when that happens, we don't have to fall apart or fall in a heap in defeat. Our God has got us covered. And this morning's message is titled, The Blind Side. Now, really, if you're not a sports fan or familiar with athletic metaphors, you may not just grab a hold of that. But I'm telling you, the Bible uses metaphors and symbols to express truth, revelation. The Big Daddy We that'll be here the first Wednesday night in August, they wrote a song that said, our God is a lion, mighty in battle. You're going to hear his roar. In fact, all planet Earth is going to hear this mighty roar of Almighty God. But then they say in the next line, our God is a lamb that was slain. The Bible speaks of agricultural farming metaphors. The sower went out to sow the seed. Birds of prey came. The ground that the seed fell on, some was hard, some was shallow, some was receptive. The Bible uses metaphors of fishing. Now, we as God's people are going to be fishers of men. Well, fishermen study what they're fishing for. They use different lures in different situations. The Bible uses a metaphor of military scenarios. In fact, there's not a person here who's a born-again Christian that has not enlisted in the army of the Lord. But this morning, I want to speak to you about some very common metaphors the Bible uses, and that is athletic, from the sports arena. Most people don't realize that the Olympic Games date back to the 6th century BC. That was before Christ. Most people don't realize that the gladiators were BC. Most people don't understand the New Testament was not primitive, unintelligent, superstitious society. No, what people don't realize is that Socrates, Plato, and Aristotle were before Christ was born. And so it was a very sophisticated, highly intellectualized day when Jesus came to speak to the heart of men. The Apostle Paul uses sports metaphors throughout his letters. He talks about running the race, fixing your eyes on Jesus. Nobody runs a race and gets into somebody with up in the grandstand. No, your eyes are fixed. Paul talks about wrestling. He talks about boxing, and so not shadow boxing. He talks about the judgment seat of Christ, which is the Bema seat, the race platform where the Olympic winners were granted their reward. In fact, 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 24 and 27, do you not know that the runner in the stadium all run in a race, but only one wins the prize? Run so as to win. Every athlete exercises discipline in every way. They do it to win a perishable crown, but we an imperishable crown. Thus, I do not run aimlessly. I do not fight as if I were shadow boxing. No, I drive my body and I train it for fear that after having preached to others, I myself should be disqualified. Wow, what a great contrast between the Apostle Paul and a lot of churchgoers. I mean, a lot of people don't read their Bible. They never pray. They only come to church every once in a while, and they think they're a shoo-in in heaven. And here we have the second greatest man that ever lived to say, I've disciplined myself. I buffet my body. I keep my eyes on the prize because I don't want to be disqualified in the end. I mean, no, that's a good, healthy, holy respect and fear. The blind side. I mean, it might be familiar with you from the 2009 feature film, about an American football player, Michael Orr. 6'5", 350 pounds. He's an offensive lineman, and he's called Big Mike in the movie. The movie's based on a 2006 book titled The Blind Side, The Evolution of the Game by Michael Lewis. But in the movie, starring Sandra Bullock and Tim McGraw and Quentin Aaron, who plays Big Mike, The Blind Side has grossed over $300 million. And Sandra Bullock, who played the leading role, Leanne Tui, the real-life character in the story of Michael Orr's life, won an Academy Award for Best Actress. The film received an Academy Award nomination for Best Picture. And ESPN, the sports channel, gave an ESPY Award for Best Sports Movie. Michael Orr, offensive lineman out of college, signed in the first draft with the Baltimore Ravens. He's since played for Carolina and Tennessee. But on the 47th Super Bowl, the Baltimore Ravens earned Super Bowl rings with Michael Orr at offensive line. The Blind Side. What's that mean? Why would they name a movie The Blind Side? You see, in football terms, the blind side is that somebody has got to have the quarterback's back. For when the quarterback takes the snap or he receives the snap back, he comes back, he steps into the pocket, and if he's looking to the left side of the field, his blind side is all this region here. Well, if somebody on the offensive line is not watching and backing up and protecting his blind side, you're talking about a hit that could be so vicious, it could literally dislocate the quarterback's arm. It could rip apart his rotator cuff. He could get a concussion or break some vertebrae in their back. In fact, many times when the blind side hit comes and is shown on TV, it's a long time before the quarterback even moves and many times has to leave the game. There are so many great moments in that movie, The Blind Side, and I really wrestled with one to show you. And the one I'm going to show you is one that I particularly enjoy because it's a moment of play in their high school days. Michael Orr is being taunted and razzed and trash talk by a player from the other side. He doesn't lose his cool. He just knows he's got to protect his quarterback and his team. The blind side. I want you to see what happens in this little clip.
Unbelievable. Three plays. What were we in? 4-3? Come on. Right. Woo! Troy, bigger me and you bigger one more time. Here we go.
Gotta cut back. Come on, let's go. Hey, Rip. Are you gonna do something about this? He just kicked my boy in the head and he cussed him. Thank you.
Unsportsmanlike conduct, Wingate, 15 yards.
What?
You shut up, you get another 15.
This young man plays for my team. And I will defend him like he's my own son against you or any other.
Don't worry, Coach. I got your back.
Come here, son. Come here.
Try gap.
Gap?
Gap.
All right. Gun rip, 47 gap, all one-on-one. Ready? All right.
Coach ain't here to protect it now, is he?
Team is your family, Michael.
Cut back, Rocky Morton.
Did we lose it? Rats, we lost it. Let me tell you how it ends. Michael Orr keeps blocking that young man who kicked him while he was down. He kept blocking him and blocking him and blocking him. The runner had already crossed the goal line, and not until the referee blew the whistle did Michael Orr take this young man, the opponent, over the goal line, through the end zone, to the fence, and just threw him up over the fence. When he comes back to the sideline, the coach says, "Michael, where were you taking that young man?" He said, "To the bus." He said, "To the bus?" He said, "Yeah, it was time for him to go home." Now, what we got to understand is that our adversary, our opponent, the adverse one, doesn't want to just discourage you. He wants to destroy you. He's after you. And the more you give your heart and life to Jesus Christ, the more spiritual opposition you will face. But I'm telling you, in the name of Jesus Christ and by the power of the blood of the Lamb, it's time for the enemy to be put where he belongs, under our feet, in the name of the Lord. Blindside. That's what Satan wants to do to your faith. He wants to steal it. He wants to kill your dream. He wants to destroy your destiny. This journey of life, ladies and gentlemen, involves spiritual conflict. Though we walk in the flesh, we're not warring after the flesh. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against spiritual forces of wickedness in high places. We are to be sober. We're to be alert, because your adversary, the devil, is prowling about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The word Satan means adversary. The Bible tells us in eternity past, a third of the angelic host followed this high-ranking cherub that rebelled against God and demanded to be worshiped himself. And God said, "Get out of my sight." He was cast down to earth, and hell is prepared not for mankind, but for Satan and all who reject God. Satan hates God, and he hates mankind, especially those who have made a decision to honor and to worship God with their life. He wants to do more than discourage you. He wants to destroy your life. And in particular, he wants to turn your heart from serving God. He wants you to be so blown away and so shocked that what you're having to deal with, you will look up and doubt that God has your back. But it is a ploy of the enemy. I'm here to tell you today, God has got your blind side. God has got your back. What may surprise you is no surprise to God. When you don't know what to do, God says, "Don't worry. I got your back, child of God. I'm your father. I've redeemed you. I will make a way for you when you have need of it." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. These blind side hits can be vicious. Maybe a medical report you never thought you'd ever hear. A situation at work, a family circumstance, maybe a situation with a child. But the word of the Lord today is, even when you don't see it coming, God says, "I've got your back." Blind side, don't be afraid. God can block and drive the enemy out of your playing field, and you can continue to rise up in victory. You see, it's how you react when you're blindsided, that will make all the difference. So, soldiers of the Lord, pull your swords and turn to 2 Kings chapter 6. Here is a biblical example of the blind side in which God was there. Look at 2 Kings chapter 6. We'll begin reading at verse 13. It says, "So he said," and the voice speaking there is the king of Syria, or the king of Aram. "He is frustrated. He is setting these traps for the people of Israel to walk into, but somehow the king of Israel is getting tipped off. He's getting intelligence on where Syria is laying in wait, and they avoid it, or they go there and are prepared and they defeat the enemy. How are they finding this information? Elisha the prophet is getting intelligence reports by the power of God. How many of you know the Holy Spirit can tip you off when to be open, when to be ready, and when to be watchful? The Holy Spirit can help you avoid a lot of unnecessary stuff if you'll just listen to Him. Somebody say amen. Amen. If you're sitting next to somebody that needs to hear that, give them a good old elbow right now. Boom. So He said, go and see where he is, that I may send and take him. They're going to put an end to this intel information. And it was told him, saying, Elijah, he is in Dothan. But look at verse 14. And he sent horses, the king of Syria, and chariots, and a great army there, and they came by night, and they surrounded the city. Now, when the attendant of the man of God had risen early and gone out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was circling the city, and the servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? So he answered, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. The servant shakes his head. Verse 17, then Elisha prayed and said, O Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed, Lord, strike this people with blindness, I pray. So he, the Lord, struck them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. Verse 19, then Elisha said to them, this is not the way, nor is this the city. Follow me, I'll bring you to the man whom you are seeking. And he brought them to Samaria, the capital city of Israel. Father God, I thank you for your holy word as it has been read and released in the atmosphere of your house. And now over the internet waves and those who will be viewing, I bind the hand of the enemy and take authority and dominion over him. I bind every hindering spirit. I take dominion. I speak in the name above every name. And by the blood of Jesus Christ, I bind the hindrance of the enemy. And I speak liberty of hearing and receiving. I thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, everybody said. Let's look at some observations of this text. Number one, no matter how spiritual or godly you are, attacks are coming. Don't ever think you're going to outgrow spiritual attacks. You're not good enough. You don't know enough Bible. It is a fact of life. The enemy's got your address. He's coming for you. And many times it'll be on your blind side. But God said, don't you worry or back up. I got you covered. Attacks will come. You will never outgrow spiritual warfare, but you can learn and you must know how to fight. But secondly, the adversary of our soul prefers nighttime attacks. The army was sent under the cover of darkness. The blind side, that's his MO. Many times, right after a great victory or a breakthrough, God often uses you. Then something happens that just throws you for a loop. By the way, I'm going to help somebody here. Let's say you're in a great need. You spend some moment and time in prayer. You feel the connection with heaven. You feel as though you have prayed through. You've sensed a great victory in your heart. But the next day, it gets worse. Don't be deceived. Don't shake your head in puzzlement. Many times right before the breakthrough, there comes the last and final onslaught. But can I go on the record by saying, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. If you won't back up or give up, our God will make a way for you. Just don't be deceived. Hallelujah. Thirdly, unbeknownst to Elijah and his servant, Little did they know, as they slept that night, here comes these special forces of Syria. And it was no small group of men. It was a large contingency. The king of Aram was angry. He was going to put a stop to Elisha and his ministry. As they slept in a small town called Dothan, just north of the capital city of Samaria, the king of Syria had his group of special forces surround the city. Number four, the first response of Elijah's servant is the one we are all very familiar with. I mean, he got up early to put on some community coffee. He had some kolaches in his backpack. He was fixing beignets on the fireplace. And when he looked up, he saw all these soldiers and horses and chariots and swords and spears staring down. He did what any great man of God would do. He cried out loud, The Bible says he cried, and the scripture puts it in a nice civilized tone, alas. Well, let's put it this way. He cried out so loud it woke up Elisha. Now, here's where it really gets good. Elisha comes out of the bedroom. He steps out on the porch. And sure enough, he sees the chariots, the tanks. Sure enough, he sees the horses, the Humvees. He sees the jeeps. He even sees a few rocket launchers. But then he does the most unusual thing. He doesn't ask God to do anything about the enemy. He prays for the servant. You see, we keep asking God, won't you do something about my circumstance? And he said, I will, soon as you open up your eyes and see that you're not surrounded by the enemy, but I got your enemy surrounded, and I've got a plan, and I'm going to bring you out, and you're going to rise up. Don't sweat this moment. I got you covered. Oh, hallelujah. So the old prophet said, give me some of that coffee, son. Grabs that coffee, takes a sip. He says, oh, Lord. Open up his eyes. Ooh, my God. All of a sudden, a wave of supernatural visited the servant's eyes. And he went from 3D vision, from height to width to depth, to 4D vision. He looked at the army of Syria, and then right behind them was an army bigger, stronger. And the most unusual thing is they were illuminated by divine fire. My God. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm trying to tell you this morning, when you are blindsided, when the vicious hits come in life, and when you're walking through a circumstance you never thought you would ever have to go through, don't you get dismayed or be afraid. Stop and look up, because God's got warring angels around your situation. He's got angels of war. They didn't come there to have a picnic. They came there to say, if they get out of line, Almighty God will take care of them. We know your servant and the great man of God is here, and we will protect them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He sees above and beyond the Syrian army staring down on them another bigger and stronger army, the warring angels of Almighty God. And then the words of the prophet made sense to the servant. More them that be that are with us than they that are against us. The Syrian army thought they had Elisha surrounded, but God said, no, I got you surrounded. You see, you got a blind side. Attacks will come that you weren't anticipating. Your family will be hit hard. Your children are going to go through difficult times. There's going to be days when you're looking up to see the bottom. There's going to be moments when you're so broken and bruised and battered, you feel like you've been left for dead, like the man on the Jericho road. But there's only one mistake Satan makes. He left him half dead. You may be here half dead, but you still got some life in you. If you'll let God open your eyes, he's not finished with you. He's going to work out in your situation. He's got the enemy where he wants him, and the enemy's the one who's going to be defeated. Come on and give the Lord some praise this morning. Hallelujah. You see, in the natural, it didn't look good. In the natural, it looked like they didn't have a prayer. They didn't have a chance. In the natural, it looked like they were limited. What could two men do against a warring army of Syrians? If all you've got to look at is the natural, you got a reason to be discouraged. But God says, look again, I got the enemy surrounded. These angels were there to protect them. What are you saying, Pastor? Don't get your eyes so engaged on the enemy that you don't see what God is doing on your behalf. I'm telling you, I've seen it as a pastor for 3 decades. People get so worked up and so troubled about what other people are doing or situations are doing, and they're blinded to the presence that God is there, and God's got a plan, and God will rise on your behalf. Lord, will you open his eyes? Don't get your eyes so engaged on the enemy. You don't see what God is doing on your behalf. Don't let your attitude and actions be determined by other people. Don't get in the flesh. This is a spiritual battle. When you're focusing this morning on your weakness instead of his strength, or your empty bowl instead of his unlimited supply, if you're focusing on that doctor's report instead of the great physician who looks you in the eye and says, by my stripes you are healed. Come on, Lord, open my eyes. The Bible makes it clear that angels are among us. Heaven's messengers, guardians, spiritual warriors on behalf of God's people. Now, isn't it amazing that once he sees this angel army, warriors from heaven, there's not another mention of the angels? That's because we're not to worship angels. We don't pray to angels. We don't command angels. Angels aren't our access to heaven. It is the name of Jesus Christ. And it's through that name that we can call on heaven. Think about it. It tells us the battles of life. We are never alone. My God, if you could look around you in your circumstance, it looks like you're going down for the count. No, sir. Look again. Lord, open their eyes. There's a whole army of warring angels around your life. You see, the very presence of an angel is a communication. Even when an angel crosses our path in silence, God is saying to us, I am here. I know what you're going through, and I am with you. I share this story in humility and all honor to God. When I lived in Lexington, Kentucky, my wife and I was going to Bible college. One morning, it had had a freezing rain that night. It was bitter cold. I got on the Beltway in Lexington. I was on my way to make the 20-mile trip to the school. And before I knew it, I had lost complete control of the car I was driving. I was at a slide on this Beltway. I was sliding in such a way that I was angling to go down into the median up on the other side of oncoming traffic. There was no way or nothing I could do to correct the situation. But you know, I was almost blindsided that day. But back at our little apartment, thank God for a praying wife. She said, I was in prayer and I didn't know why, but I felt this urgent, compelling need to pray for you. And I didn't know what you were going through or what was happening. She said, and I prayed in the spirit. She said, I prayed in other tongues until I felt a release in my spirit. I conferred with her later that day. The timing that she prayed was the same time that I looked up, calling out on the name of Jesus. And God is my witness. There was like a big hand came and sat on the front of that car and straightened it out, and I was able to straighten out my direction. Now, I know there's people that say, well, I don't believe that. I don't care if you believe it or not. I'm here to tell you that when you're blindsided, you're not alone. When the attacks come that you weren't expecting it, there's a God in heaven who's got your back, and it's time for the enemy to go home and to be under our feet. Come on and give God some praise. Hallelujah. When the Syrian army moves down to capture Elisha, he does an amazing thing. He says, God, I just pray blindness over this whole army. My God, can God do that? Suddenly, every one of those special forces couldn't see where they were going. Elijah said, you're on the wrong road. The man you're looking for is not here, but I'll take you to him. How many of you know we ought to tell the devil what road he needs to be on? We ought to tell him he needs to be on the road to defeat and on the road to judgment, because that's where he's going to end up. But what does Elisha do? He does the strangest thing. He leads them just a little bit south, and he comes to the city of Samaria, the capital city of Israel. Can you imagine? Here's the old prophet. Here's his assistant. And by the way, you don't hear another word from the assistant. I don't know if we have that shot of him or not this morning. But I can imagine when that assistant had his eyes open, there he was right there. The assistant from that point on in the story is just zipping. He doesn't say a word. But Elisha says, this way, Phyllis. He leads them. And can you imagine those who were manning the gate at Samaria? Would you look at this? Well, I've never seen anything like this. How many know God's getting ready to do some things we've never seen before? How many believes we serve a God who can get us out of the box and into his divine flow and plan? We serve a God whom nothing is impossible. They open the gate and he brings the whole army in there. Now here's where it gets good. The king of Samaria, Israel's king, comes, and he's kind of a strange character. He walks up to Elisha and he says, shall I kill him? Shall I kill him? And Elijah looks at him and says, kill him? Would you kill captives you didn't even take? No, don't kill him. Put some bread and water before him. And so they brought out the tables and the whole army of Syria. My God, I hear the scripture. Don't overcome evil with evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen. You see, that's where we get tripped up in the 21st century. Somebody rubbed you wrong. Well, you're going to plan your little revenge. Watch out. You're just fixing to mess up what God wants to do. There's two things God says are mine in the Bible. Number one, the tithe. God said the tithe belongs to me. It is mine. But number two, God says, don't take revenge or vengeance into your own hands. For vengeance is mine, says the Lord. How can you keep walking from victory to victory, even in the blindside attacks? God's got your back, and don't get all frustrated, revengeful, or bitter. Know that if you return good over evil, you defeat evil. Ooh, it's quiet in this house this morning. So let's look at it. Suddenly what the enemy tried to do against Elisha, God turned it around. They thought they'd blindside Elisha. But God said, no, surprise, I'm going to blindside you. They thought they wouldn't be able to see him at night, but God said, I see what you're doing against my people. I'm going to strike you blind. and I'm going to show you something. And the Bible says that when they ate the bread and the water, the enemy, they got up and their eyes were open. And the scripture says that they left the city and did not return to Samaria to attack them again. I'm telling you, when you don't return vengefulness, God will step in. You don't want to do what somebody's done to you. Why? Because you don't want to reap that kind of a harvest. So let's land the plane this morning. When you have a blindside attack, the first thing you got to do is get God's perspective. You're either going to focus on the enemy or you're going to look for some angels. You're either going to panic or you're going to lay hold of a promise. If we're going to live in victory, we got to get God's perspective. Secondly, you got to become a person of prayer. You see, God has a plan, and I've noticed this, and I feel a sermon germinate within me. But every attack against God's people in the Bible, God has a specific motive to go against them. In other words, in every attack, God's got a specific plan for that attack to defeat the enemy. That's what you get in prayer. You get God's instructions. And when God says to you, don't you take them into the city and put a knife to their throat. You take them into the city. I want to change their hearts. And God worked a miracle. Is anybody hearing this message? One thing I love about how Michael Orr was portrayed in the movie is that he was a young man that was just happy to be alive and to have any kind of opportunity. And he's portrayed as someone who doesn't have a vicious, vindictive, mean bone in his body. And that's a beautiful quality to have. The Lord is on your side. Who can be against you? He will fight your battles if you'll get his perspective, if you'll become a person of prayer, and if you will obey what he tells you. And don't take revenge into your own hands. Don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. You may feel blindsided this morning, but if you'll look again, God's got your enemy surrounded. God will open your spiritual eyes and blind the eyes of your enemy, and he will make a way for you. I'm going to ask our musicians to come. This morning, we're going to close in a time of prayer. But I'm going to tell you, back in the early part of December of 2015, we began to have flooding in a sanctuary. Talk about blindsided. The water was up to the platform. And for 8 months, we were in the kids' building having two services. Well, don't you know the enemy thought he had us surrounded? Don't you know the enemy said, oh, now let's see how victorious you're going to be? Don't you know that the enemy flashed his swords and his chariots and his warriors of demons? But I'm happy to report that you, God's people, rallied. And for 8 months, two services in the kids' building, we didn't miss one single commitment to missions, whether it be foreign or home. In fact, the first year that we were back into, well, that year of 2015, we got a recommendation from our national office of being the largest single giving church to missions in the entire state of Louisiana. Can I tell you, in the last 10 years, we will have built five churches, including the one this year, in Honduras. Four churches in El Salvador. In Panama, two churches. In Peru, a church. In Malawi, a tabernacle church. In China, two churches. In the Philippines, two churches. In fact, in the last 10 years, 17 churches, a tabernacle complete or building on a church building, was 17 in number. This coming September, we will take a team of 24 people to the country of Zimbabwe, Africa. There in a country of millions of people, there are very few Assembly of God churches. There are none in that immediate area of Victoria Falls. But because of people who knew the blind side was just a deception, God had their back. You gave early this year, and it still amazes me. And can I say, I look at you this morning, I say, wow, what an amazing group of people. That at the beginning of January of this year, I ask you to give to help reach people in Zimbabwe, to build a tabernacle church, to dig a water well, to purchase the land, and to establish a fountain of living water that can go out from that area. I was praying and hoping that we could raise about 35 to 40,000. You said, no, we can do better than that, Pastor. You committed $116,000. You have given to date $111,000. Never done this before, but I felt the Holy Spirit. In fact, He showed me. I was talking to the missionary that we're supporting and working through. And as I was sharing with him, I saw this vision of a cross, and it had nameplates on it. And so I knew that's what God wanted me to do. And so I simply ask you if you would make a commitment, and whatever message that you would like to write to that church, that newly established church, will engrave it on a nameplate. And I will take your name, your family's name, with 23 others. And somebody's already been commissioned to build that cross. Oh, hallelujah. And so after September, till the Lord comes, people that walk into that church in Zimbabwe will see an unusual cross that has all these names on it. And they'll read, God loves you. He's got a great plan for you. He sent His Son for you. We're praying for you. By His stripes you're healed. And family names of you, the congregation. It overwhelms me. Following a blindside attack, you, this congregation, said, we're not falling for this. We're going to stay true to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. 81 names I'll be carrying in my suitcase. Your name. 116 pledge, 111 given. If you've not yet completed that commitment, if you are able, we urge you to do it. We've had a little increase on the digging of the water well. It went from 10,000 to 17 because the depth we have to go is extremely deep, and we won't be able to handle it with a hand pump. It'll be electronic. If you're able to complete that pledge, it would help us greatly. But I'm telling you, I'm so amazed, because when we come back in October of this year, we go in September, we'll come back September, and then we take another team to Honduras. We'll build the fifth church in Honduras. I think we have about 18 people already signed up for that trip. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm trying to say, yeah, we've had some pretty hard knocks. We've had some vicious attacks. Oh, man, that Christmas, we were sent to throw that pass. Here come the adversary. But my God stepped in and said, no, this isn't going to be the end of what you're going to do. God's got a plan. And what really thrills me, church, is that it's the first time, really, that I've experienced this out of building many churches through the years overseas. But we have had the privilege of having veteran missionaries who are in a long lineage and heritage of Morris Plotts, of Glenn and Marilyn Ford. And I'm speaking of our own missionaries that have been with us now for a little over a year. Would you guys come up here, Larry, Rhonda? Now, here's the thing. These guys. When this couple came back from the field, wow, they didn't see this coming. Sweet Marilyn Ford takes ill. She'd finished her course. She ran a race. But we laid her body in the ground, but her spirit ascended into heaven. Your dad is with your brother over in Houston. You guys got blindsided. You go to visit your family and your dad takes ill. And the Lord said, it's time to come home, soldier. And so he came home. The reason I'm saying this is that if you're going to make an impact in the kingdom, you've got to get to the place where blindsided attacks don't stop you. You keep going. This great couple are headed out. This is their last Sunday to be with us. They're headed out shortly. They've been loading their container, and they are going to Zimbabwe, and they are getting everything prepared for our team in September to go. But I just want to let you guys know how honored and blessed we are and what a joy it is to join hands and swords with warriors in the kingdom. Oh, how you could have got dismayed, discouraged, and quit, but you didn't. Zimbabwe, souls will be brought into the kingdom and lives will be changed. Blind side, God's got you covered. Don't lose your sense of destiny when these attacks come. Stand your ground. Look a little higher than the enemy. There's warring angels on your behalf.